Now, I want to do something I did first service. I want us to read together the 23rd Psalm. So not just listening to me read it, but we're going to all read it together. I know we have different translations. I'm reading from the only true Word of God, the King James Version. I'm kidding. I shouldn't have said that, but I am kidding. But the Pew Bibles are New King James, and we're going to read together. So let's read out loud together, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 has been called the Pearl of the Psalms, a nightingale singing in the world's night of loneliness and need. And the thing that amazes me is that Psalm 23 was penned over 3,000 years ago. Think of that. Over 3,000 years ago, David penned this psalm, and yet it is as fresh and as relevant and as comforting as it was the day that David penned these marvelous words. I believe that everyone loves this 23rd Psalm. You know, for many, it's the first piece of scripture that we put to memory. For many, it's the last scripture that is read before they die or at the graveside. But Psalm 23 is not about death. Psalm 23 is about life. Psalm 23 is about how the Lord, our shepherd, leads us and guides us and provides for us and takes care of us. So it's a psalm, I believe, of life. Now, we need to ask the question, what are the Psalms? As we are going to be spending the next 6 weeks in the book of Psalms and Psalm 23, we need to ask ourselves, what is this Psalms that we have in our Bible? Well, simply stated, they are songs. They are Hebrew poetry, and they were put to music, and they were originally sung. They were the Psalter, or the songbook of the Hebrews. Now, the majority of the Psalms were written by David. Now, when David wrote Psalm 23, we are not sure. Some think that he might have written Psalm 23 when he was a young shepherd playing his harp out in the fields, and quite often we see that portrayed in artwork, the picture of a beautiful pasture land and the big tree and the rock, and David sitting on the rock and he's strumming his harp, and the sheep are kind of grooving with him, you know, as he plays his harp. And by the way, his harp was plugged into a Fender amplifier. It was an electric harp, and he was jamming with the sheep, and he's out there in the wilderness, and they're worshiping God. But it could be that David wrote it as a young boy, and he saw his love for the sheep and his protection for the sheep and his care for the sheep, and he was reflecting all that he was to his sheep, God was to him. But the idea that God is our shepherd is pretty common throughout the scriptures. Or it could be that David wrote this in midlife. When David was in the heat of battle, maybe when David taken his sling and he killed Goliath, and David maybe wrote it when he was fighting in the battles. So some feel that it was when he was playing his harp, some feel that it was when he was wielding the sword or the sling. Or maybe perhaps David wrote this psalm when he was in his sunset years. He was wearing the crown. Now, as I said, we do not know when David wrote Psalm 23, but if I were going to put it into a movie, I would have the psalm penned when David was an old man. And I picture David sitting on the throne wearing his crown. He maybe isn't still playing his harp, his sling is long gone, the sword has been laid aside, but he's wearing the crown. His hair is gray. I plucked a gray hair this morning out of my head. My barber the other day said, "You're getting a lot more gray." I know, don't tell me. But I had this real wiry one that just kind of stuck straight out like a little antenna. It's like, Lord, forgive me, but I got to do this, you know, vanity. I'm getting old, and we get old. And sometimes when you get old, you get sentimental. And there's more behind you than there is ahead of you on this earth. And you're looking forward to heaven, but you look back and you remember all the way the shepherd led me. I look back at my childhood, and I look back at my parents, and I look back at my family, and I look back at my conversion, God calling me to ministry, and all the years that I've been a pastor, and how God, like a shepherd, has led me. And so I picture David, gray hair, the silver crown upon his head, and he's very old, sitting in his cedar palace, and all of a sudden, David just begins to be filled with joy. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. He led me and guided me, and he began to sing this psalm as he composed this song that would be sung to music. So whether it was the harp or the sling and the sword or the crown, we do not know, but we do know that David was the author of Psalm 23. Now, we know David because he was the shepherd boy who became the king of Israel. And we love the story when Samuel the prophet went down to the house of Jesse to find the new king, and Jesse paraded all of his big, handsome, brawny, strong boys before the prophet, so proud as a father. Maybe Eliab, he's my eldest, he's strong, he's good looking, look how athletic he is, you know, and he plays football. This is a great kid. He can be the next president, the next king of Israel. And one by one, as Samuel thought, this is the man, God spoke to him, said, no, I don't look as men look on the outward appearance. But God told him, I look on the heart. None of these are whom I have chosen. And so Samuel said to Jesse, he said, do you have any other boys? He said, well, yeah, the runt, David, but he's out there watching the sheep. Actually, David was the youngest. He was just the runt of the family. And he got the job of watching the sheep. And Samuel said, we're not going to sit down until you've called him. So they ran to get David. And what was David doing? Naturally, he was watching his sheep. He was watching his sheep. And David, Samuel, the prophet, is at our house, and he's calling for you. Me? David? He wants me? Yes, he wants you. Come quickly. And as David approached, the prophet heard from the Lord, this is the man, arise and anoint him. And you can imagine that Jesse and his sons were awestruck as they saw this prophet stand up, take the cap off of his horn of oil, and pour it on little David's head as the oil ran down. And the Bible says that he was ruddy and of fair countenance. So it's believed that David actually had red hair and freckles. So picture this little red-haired, freckled kid, you know, ruddy of countenance, and he has this oil just pouring down over his head, and that God had called him from the sheepfold to be the shepherd of the nation of Israel, and then to pen what has been the most beautiful song ever written. All the volumes, all the books that have been written cannot compare to this one little psalm, six verses, that has brought so much comfort and hope and strength and encouragement to God's people for over 3,000 years. So David cries in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that David had been to his sheep, God had been to him. This is a psalm for all ages. This is a psalm for the young, for the middle age, and for the elderly. Now, there are two graphic pictures of God's intimate relationship with his people seen in Psalm 23. Some people see three images, the shepherd, the guide, and the host. Some see one image, the shepherd. I see two images here, and we're going to take it from that perspective. First, there is the shepherd and his sheep, verses 1 to 4. Then there is the host and his guest, verse 5. And then verse 6 is a summary of the psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. So first he is the shepherd, we are his sheep. Then he is the host, and we are his guest. Now today we're introduced to the main theme of the psalm, and it's in verse 1. The Lord, my shepherd. Now in the Hebrew, that's the way it would read. It would read, the Lord, my shepherd. But who is this Lord, my shepherd? I want you to notice in verse 1 that the word Lord is all capital letters, L-O-R-D. Now, why is it in all capital letters? It's in all capital letters because in the Hebrew, it's what's called a tetragrammaton. It's just these four letters, Y-H-W-H, no consonants or no vowels. Why? Because they felt the name of God to be so holy that it should never be pronounced by human lips. And so when they would come to this name, YHWH, it had no consonants or vowels. They didn't really know how to pronounce it. They would just bow their head and they would just say the name. Now, it's probably pronounced Yahweh, but we can't be sure. And in our English, we have come to give the word Jehovah. You've heard the word Jehovah. Well, it comes from this YHWH, Yahovah. But what does it mean? It means to be. So it's the idea of God as the becoming one. And it conveys the idea of God's self-existence, timelessness, and self-sufficiency. Now, I realize that these are things that are hard to grab a hold of and understand. But when we think about God, we need to think that God is self-existent. He depends on no one. If you ever hear a preacher say, God needs your money, forget about it. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't even need you to worship Him. God says, oh, I really need you to worship me. No. God doesn't need anything. He gives to everyone life and breath and all things. He's the source, He's the sustainer, and He is the goal of everything. This idea that God needs me or God needs my help. You know, if God needs my help, God's in big trouble. If you need my help, you're in big trouble. Because I'm a flake. But God is trustworthy. God is the eternal, all-sufficient, self-sufficient, timeless God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Remember when Moses was called by God from the burning bush? And he saw the bush burning and he had to take his shoes off. And God began to speak from the bush and said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and command Pharaoh to release my people. And remember Moses said, well, who shall I say has sent me? I can't just go back and say, hey, a bush sent me. Not only a bush, a burning bush sent me. They'll think I'm crazy. So what was God's response as he spoke to Moses from the bush? I am that I am. You tell them, I am has sent you. You go, what kind of a name is that? Well, at least it's not I was. God's not the great has-been in the sky. It's not I will be, it's the eternal I am. Now, the best way to understand this concept of God, the great I am, is to understand that it is God saying, I am whatever you need. Now, with this name, Jehovah or Yahweh or Jehovah, we have in the Bible what are called the compound names of God. We'll have to do a sermon series on the names of God sometime. But let me mention a few of them. What has God become for us? If you need peace, He is Jehovah Shalom. That's the compound name of God. That is the I am your peace. How many of you need peace this morning? I need peace. I want peace. I want the peace of God in my heart. Well, the Lord is my peace. If you need provision, He is Jehovah Jireh. By the way, all these compound names of God and more are actually seen in this psalm. That God provides and God protects and God heals and God restores. He's Jehovah, our provider. Jehovah Jireh. God is my provider. Now, this concept of Jehovah Jireh. The word actually means God sees. And wherever there is God vision, there is God provision. The word Jehovah Jireh has come to mean God provides, but its origin, it actually means God sees. And the inference is wherever God sees, God provides. You know, sometimes when we pray, we want to inform God, God, do you see what's going on down here? God, do you know what's happening? Like God's, oh, no. Aren't you glad when you pray, you don't hear God go, oh. Or God never goes, wow. God sees, God knows, God understands. And God provides. How many of you have ever experienced the provision of God in your life? Over and over and over and over again. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my peace. But in our psalm, verse 1, we have Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. Think about that. This self-existent God, this timeless God, this self-sufficient God, this eternal God, that he would condescend to become my shepherd. What an amazing concept. That God would take me as his own and be my shepherd, feeding me, leading me, protecting me. Now, if the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha, then the inference is we are his what? Bah. We are his sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not flattering. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dependent. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are dirty. And sheep lack direction. God bless you. You calling me a sheep, Pastor? No, the Bible is. And we are dumb. We need his wisdom. We need a shepherd. We are dependent. Sheep just don't go off. You know, you see the sheep with a stick over his back with a little kind of, I'm running away, little bag. You know, I'm kind of leaving the flock. I'm going to go on my own. You know, good luck, little sheep. You're going to be devoured by afternoon. Sheep need the flock together. They need the protection of a shepherd. There's a lot of wolves and predators and dangerous things out there. And they have no defense. Sheep don't have horns. Sheep don't have fangs. Sheep don't have big sharp teeth. If you're in a dark night walking around and you're not going to freak out, right? If you're a roar, it's like, ha, 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 you run for your life. But when you think of sheep, you think of weak, helpless, defenseless critters, right? Super Bowl's coming up in another week or so, and everybody's got NFL fever. They're all psyched about football. But you know, how many NFL teams are called the sheep? We got the Lions and the Bears and the Seahawks, you know, and we have the Rams and all these really cool creatures. Couldn't you imagine it? Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your team, the sheep. Bah, bah, bah. They come out on the field. I mean, it just doesn't bespeak of strength or power, right? So we need God to protect us and God to watch over us and God to provide and to care for us. We all need a shepherd. And sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep get so easily turned around and lost. When I was in high school, I was a part of a future farmers class. I had an agriculture class, and we had to deal with sheep, and we had to raise sheep, and I raised a steer. But I remember one rainy day, the teacher asked me to go out and try to get the sheep into the barn. I had this big barn, and we had about 30, 40 sheep, needed to get them into the barn. And I tell you, I spent hours and hours trying to get those dumb sheep into the barn, and I never did get them into the barn. I just walked away and said, you want to get wet and cold and rained on? Go ahead, you dumb sheep. And I walked off. Sheep just dumb animals. They lack direction. We need a shepherd. Now, the shepherd that we need is the Lord. And who is the Lord? Jesus. Write this down. John 10, verse 11. I am, Jesus said. Have a familiar ring to it. I am the good, what? Shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus says, gives his life for the sheep. There you have it. And most Bible scholars will agree that the Lord, my Raha shepherd, is most likely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus said, I am, matter of fact, seven times Jesus said, I am, I am, I am, I am. Not only the good shepherd, but the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of God which comes down from heaven. I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Every time Jesus used that phrase, ego, I am, I am, he was claiming to be the Lord Jehovah. So I am the good shepherd, or the shepherd, the good one, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, something kind of interesting about Psalm 23, it comes right between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. I studied all week to figure that out. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. All through that psalm, it opens up in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And all seven of the utterances that Christ made from the cross as he hung and died are either found in Psalm 22 or the background for them is in Psalm 22. It's the psalm of the cross. Skip forward to Psalm 24. It's the psalm of the crown. Open up ye gates. Open up ye doors. Be lifted up ye gates, ye everlasting door. For the King of glory is going to come. Who is the King of glory? The Lord is mighty in battle. It's a psalm that's messianic and prophetic. It's a psalm that looks forward to the coming of Messiah when he will wear the diadem, the kingly crown, and he will sit upon his throne. But then in between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 is Psalm 23. It's a psalm of the crook. So you have the psalm of the cross, psalm of the crown, and then the psalm of the crook, where he becomes our shepherd, and he leads us, and he guides us into quiet streams and green pastures. He restores our soul. And even though we're walking through the valley of deepest darkness, we need not fear, for God is with us. The shepherd is our companion and our comfort. So I believe all we need is Jesus as that shepherd of our souls. In John 10, Jesus went on to say these words in verse 27 and verse 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Our relationship with Jesus, the good shepherd, is both intimate. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and permanent. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I don't know about you, but I believe that the shepherd wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you and guide you. You can have a very intimate relationship with God as the shepherd of your soul. And without him, we're like sheep gone astray. We turn to our own way. We don't have the wisdom for life. We have no way to defend ourselves, to feed ourselves, to take care of ourselves. We need to be dependent on God, our Creator, our Shepherd. But it's also a permanent relationship. Jesus said, I give to my sheep eternal life. And they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In the Greek, it's very strong. It's what's called the double negative. No, never, ever shall anyone pluck them out of my Father's hand. I give them eternal life, and they shall never, ever perish, and no one shall ever, ever pluck them out of my Father's hands. We are safe and we are secure in the hands of our good shepherd. Amen? He takes care of us. Remember when David was talking to King Saul about killing the giant of Gath, Goliath, and he said, you're just a youth. How can you contend with this giant? He said, I want you to know that when I watched my sheep, a lion came and tried to take my sheep. That lion didn't want to come back. I took care of that lion. I grabbed him by the beard and I wiped him out. A bear tried to grab one of my sheep. They don't mess with me anymore. I took care of that bear. And I took care of this lion. I took care of the bear. I'm going to take care of that Philistine. Do you know that God takes care of your enemies? That God protects you and God watches over you and that God is caring for you and that He never sleeps and He never slumbers. And as we go through this psalm, we're going to see the shepherd's care for us. So notice the second phrase in verse 1. Not only is the Lord or Jehovah my raha, my shepherd, but what does he say? I shall not what? I shall not want. I love it. I love it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I've always loved Kenneth Taylor's living paraphrase. The Living Bible reads, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Didn't that say it all? Verse 1 is the theme. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Another translation has, I lack in nothing. Heard the story of a little 4-year-old girl in her Sunday school class, pigtails sticking out, and her teacher asked her if she could recite the 23rd Psalm. She gladly bounced to the front of the class, and she started to recite the 23rd Psalm. She said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. She took her bow and went and sat back down. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Thank you very much, and I'm going to go back and sit down. And you know, I thought, man, that's good theology right there. That little 4-year-old had some great insight. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. If I know the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. I don't know about you, but I've found that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all my needs. Whatever I need, I know that the Lord is my shepherd and that I lack nothing. He takes care of me. What an awesome thought. Now, as you look at this psalm, notice the things that the Lord as our shepherd provides for us. We lack nothing. We will not lack for rest. Notice verse 2, because he makes us to lie down in green pastures, or he makes me to lie down in pastures of green. You know that only God can give you rest for your soul. You can go to Walgreens and buy sleep, but you can't buy rest. You can't go to Walgreens and say, do you have a peace pill? My heart is troubled. You can get sleep, but you can't find rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you come to the Lord as your shepherd, you find rest for your weary soul. Notice, secondly, what he provides in verse 3. We shall not want for restoration because he restores my soul. That word restores in the Hebrew, it means that he brings back. So when we stumble or fall or sin, he forgives our sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times have we had to run to the good shepherd and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And we experience the grace and the mercy of God when he washes us and cleanses us. And he restores us when we become cast as a sheep would fall and not be able to get up. The Lord restores us. And then thirdly, we shall not want for righteous paths. Notice it in verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we shall not want for rest. We shall not want for restoration. We shall not want for righteous paths or right paths. God is going to lead you. God is going to guide you. God is going to direct your life. When you're wondering, which way do I go? God will be your shepherd and lead you in righteous paths. And then notice fourthly in verse 4, I shall not want, when the Lord is my shepherd, for courage and for comfort. It says in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, or literally, though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness. Now, this isn't just referring to death. This is referring to dark periods of your life. And you know, we all pass through valleys of discouragement and despair. We all face times of darkness and doubt. But we don't need to be afraid. God is with us. Our shepherd will lead us. When life casts a shadow and we're filled with doubts and fears, maybe you're in a dark valley right now. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you didn't want to come to church today. Maybe God wants to speak to your heart that He's with you and He's not forsaken you. And those times when we feel like God is farthest from us are those moments when God is nearest to us. And He promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, thou art with me. We have His presence. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we have His comfort. We have His courage. And then fifthly, I shall not want for provision. I love it. The imagery changes to God the host, and we are His guest. Thou preparest a table, verse 5, before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup does what? It runs over. He doesn't just put a little bit in. He fills it, and it overflows. Is your cup overflowing? When the Lord is your shepherd, you have an overflowing life. Amen? We don't want for courage and for comfort. We don't want for provision. And then lastly, in verse 6, we shall not want for eternity. Because the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord is a reference to heaven. And David just kind of comes to the end of the psalm. He said, all my life, goodness has followed me. Mercy has followed me. And one day when I die, I'm going to dwell in God's house forever and forever. I shall not want for rest, for restoration, for righteous paths, for courage and comfort and provision and for eternity. Now, how could David speak with such assurance in verse 6? How could David say, I will, not I hope to, not if I'm lucky, not I might, I will, confident assurance, dwell in God's house forever? The answer back in verse 1. It's one little word. It's the word my. The word my. The Lord my shepherd. Did you notice he didn't say the Lord the shepherd? He didn't say the Lord my wife's shepherd. You know, a lot of guys come to church because their wives make them. Guys say, I'll go to church if you let me watch football. And you quit nagging me, I'll go to church with you. Okay, okay, you work out a deal. And maybe they're saying, well, the Lord is my wife's shepherd. Maybe the Lord will let me into heaven because I'm married to my wife. No. He didn't say, the Lord is my friend's shepherd. The Lord is my parents' shepherd. A lot of people grow up in church, and their parents love the Lord, and they're believers, but they haven't yet been born again. I don't care if you're third, fourth, fifth generation Christian. I don't care if your parents grew up in church, and you grew up in church, and you were dedicated as a baby. You must be born again. Amen? You must be born again. God has no grandchildren, only children. And you must have your own intimate personal relationship with God. He didn't say, the Lord is my friend's shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I agree with F.B. Meyer, who said the dearest word in the entire psalm is the word my. Did you notice the personal pronouns? Verse 1, my shepherd. Verse 2, He leadeth me to lay down in green pastures. He maketh me. Verse 2, He leadeth me beside still waters. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are two reasons why we love this psalm. Number one, because it's all about the shepherd. That's why we love this psalm. You know, when you read Psalm 23, it isn't, Lord, plant me on a rock. Take my feet and put me on a rock. Lord, protect me from my enemies. Lord, bust their teeth in their mouth. There's no petitions. There's no prayers. Help me, O God, for I am in despair. Save me, for great and many are my enemies, O Lord. And we love those psalms, but oh, how sweet is the psalm, because it's all about the shepherd. And it's all, secondly, about what he does for me. Those are two standout points about Psalm 23. It's all about the shepherd, and it's all about what he does for me. He leads me. He guides me. He provides for me. He comforts me. He protects me. And he'll take me home one day to heaven. That's why we love this psalm. But you know, that's what it is. That's what the Christian life is all about. Faith looks to God. Faith rests in God. Now, if the Lord is my shepherd, then I am his sheep, then guess what? He owns me. I'm his property. My problems are not my problems. They're his problem because I'm his sheep. So if you're the Lord's sheep, your problems are really God's problems, and that way you can cast your care upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for you. So what makes this psalm so precious is that it focuses on the Lord, and it speaks of what he has personally done for me. Remember when Thomas saw the risen Lord after his resurrection? And Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe unless I see him myself. Thrust my hand into his side and see the scars of the nails in his hands. I'm not going to believe. And then all of a sudden, Jesus materialized in the room, passing through locked doors, and Thomas saw the risen Savior. And Jesus said, Thomas, be not unbelieving, but believing. What did Thomas say? Now, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I picture Thomas falling on his knees. And he did say these words, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. I propose to you that you cannot say the 23rd Psalm and come to verse 6 and say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, unless you can say the Lord is my shepherd. The only way for you to be able to say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever is if you can say the Lord is my shepherd. I heard the story of a young man that grew up in the church back in the Midwest, small country church. And when he became able to leave home, he took off for Los Angeles to become a movie star. He went to acting school, gained a career in acting. Became famous and well-known and rich, and then years later he thought he would go back and visit his hometown. And it was a Sunday morning, he went to church, and after church they had a fellowship together, a potluck, and they were eating. And while they were in this meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall, the pastor invited him to stand and give a recital. Would you recite something for us? The young man said, what would you like me to recite? Well, an elderly saint of God, gray hair, walked with God for many years, sitting in the back of the fellowship hall, said, how about the 23rd Psalm? This young man, very proud, said, well, I'll do it on one condition. After I recite it, you recite it. So the elderly gentleman said, well, okay, you got a deal. I'll recite it after you. The young man stood up and with pose and very eloquently and great oratory and clear, powerful voice and drama, he quoted the 23rd Psalm and everyone applauded. It was awesome. That was the elderly man's turn, and he stood up and kind of bent over with his cracking voice and his gray hair. He was able to barely bark it out, but he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and after he finished, not a dry eye in the place. Everyone was crying. The young actor stood up and he said, I think I understand the difference. The young man said, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. That's the difference. You know, my question for you this morning is, you might know the psalm, but do you know the shepherd? Are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? And if you're able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, then and only then are you able to say, I have everything I need. Amen? Let's pray.